قال حديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. One of the greatest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us is that He has told us specifically how we can please Him and what acts of worship we can do to please Him. And on top of this blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of being able to know how to worship Allah, which not everybody has, meaning other groups and other nations or sects or religions, they want to worship a God, but they don't know exactly how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though they have this need, they have this want. They know there's this void in their souls where they need to fill it up by worshiping Allah. And they don't know specifically how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself. In what way, in what manner. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us by telling us exactly how to worship Allah. Furthermore, on top of this, brothers and sisters, an even greater blessing is the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us which acts of worship are better than others, and which acts of worship are more beloved to Allah, and which things, if we did them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be happy when we do them. And this is why one of the companions, when he went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, أَيُّ الْأَعْمَالِ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ, which of the actions are most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And he said, الصَّلَاةُ عَلَى وَقْتِهَا, prayer at its appointed time. And he mentioned other things. But the point is that even in Islam, we know which things, which acts of worship are better than which, and which are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than others. One of the acts of worship, in fact, the essence of worship itself, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said, is the worship or the act of supplication, the act of dua. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, الدُعَاء مُخُ الْعِبَادَةِ. He said, dua, supplication, is the essence of worship. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in many places in the Quran talks about the virtues of dua and calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, let them make dua to me, supplicate to me, so I can respond to them. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ دَاعِ إِذَا دَعَان. I respond to the caller so long as it makes dua and supplicates to me. In another narration, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ad-du'a huwa al-ibada," that supplication in and of itself is worship. And the reason why it's worship, brothers and sisters, even though we're asking Allah continuously, non-stop, for many things in this dunya and in the akhirah, a person may ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for wealth, for improvement in his health if he's sick. He may ask for family or for protection. He may ask for success in his career. He may ask for many things in the dunya, or he may ask for things in the akhirah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him ease on that day, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala admits him into the highest parts of Jannah. So a person is continuously asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one may wonder, how is this an act of worship? Because when a person first of all asks Allah azza wa jal, he's asking knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listening. And many times when we supplicate to Allah, we supplicate quietly. And even though we supplicate quietly, we know for a fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listening, He's going to respond. And this is the other benefit or the other reason why dua is an act of worship. Because we're asking someone knowing for a fact that He's going to respond and reply to our supplication. Otherwise, we wouldn't make dua in the first place. And this is why it's even more of a puzzle and it's even stranger when a person makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then he stops making dua. And in fact, when a person does this, it's a reason for his supplication not to be responded to by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, one of the reasons why a person's supplication isn't answered to and responded to is when he makes dua and then he stops making dua. Da'utu falam yustajab li. I made dua and I wasn't responded to. And so he stops making dua. As a result of him stopping making dua, his dua isn't going to be responded to because he never made the effort. Salama radiallahu anha, she said that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, after Salatul Subh, after the Fajr prayer, he would make a specific dua. And this dua he would make, and it's a narration which is sound and authentic. This dua which he would make is a dua which is very short. And maybe some of us have heard this dua before, but I wanted to go over the things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for in this specific dua. He asks for three things. Salama radiallahu anha, she said that he would make dua after Salatul Subh and he would say, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'an. O Allah, I ask you for beneficial knowledge, wa rizqan tayyiban, and for pure provision, wa amalan mutaqabbala, and for actions which are going to be accepted, accepted actions. This is a supplication, brothers and sisters, which is very short, and is only asking for three things, alayhi salatu wasalam. But if we look at this hadith and this dua specifically, we can take away so many fawaid and so many benefits from this simple dua. First of all, the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he made dua, and he's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for specific things. Allahumma inni as'aluka, I ask you, I implore you, I'm requesting from you. And this is the first lesson we take from this supplication, brothers and sisters. Whenever we make dua to Allah Azza wa Jal, whenever we supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's simply a request. It's simply a question. We're putting forward something that we would like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to respond to. We can't demand anything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to whomsoever he wishes to give. And he withholds from whosoever he wishes to withhold from. And so when we make dua, we realize when we're making this request, this su'al, inni as'aluka, I request, I ask from you. We realize from this our position compared to the position of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning we're not entitled to anything. And anytime we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah azza wa jal gives us, this is a blessing from Allah azza wa jal. And so when a person makes dua, a person realizes and knows he's in a state of weakness. And he's not in a position to demand anything or expect anything. But at the same time, he has the hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the one who responds to supplications that he's going to give him. Allahumma inni as'aluka, O Allah, I ask for you, I request from you, ilman nafi'an, beneficial knowledge. And we see from this supplication that knowledge is of different types. You have knowledge which is beneficial, and then you have knowledge which isn't beneficial, meaning people aren't going to benefit from that specific knowledge in this life nor in the hereafter. And it's unfortunate today that many of us, we fall into this trap of the shaitan, where we end up involving ourselves into things which aren't going to benefit us at all, neither in this life nor in the akhirah. A person will end up sitting down, having discussions with certain individuals, his friends, his family members even, and those discussions or conversations are of no benefit. In fact, he may be sinful for the things he says in that specific conversation. He may talk about other individuals, what the neighbors were doing, what these individuals were doing at work the other day, for example. And so he ends up talking badly about other individuals. And this is a situation where the knowledge or the things you're sharing and the things you're talking about and learning from one another are things which aren't of any benefit, neither to you nor to those you're sharing it with. And at the same time, especially in today's time, we end up wasting much of our time on social media, where we end up just opening Facebook, and sometimes it's like a habit. We're not even looking for anything specific. But we end up spending 5 or 10 or 15 or half an hour or maybe hours going through things on Facebook or on other types of social media with no real objective, no real goal. There's no real reason why we're looking through it. It's become a habit for us that we end up doing these types of things. And we end up wasting time, or we end up reading certain things which are of no benefit. No doubt there's some things which are beneficial, but a lot of the time it's things which we didn't need to know. And there's things that we read or we end up looking into, which ultimately doesn't benefit us. And it's not from ilm and nafi'. And when a person learns something which is maybe not Islamic, but it's academic, Meaning he's going to benefit himself, he's going to develop himself as a human being, he's going to learn certain skills, he's going to be benefiting himself and his family financially, then those things and that type of knowledge is knowledge which is good because it's beneficial in one way or another. But even greater than this is ilman nafi'an, beneficial knowledge, which is Islamic knowledge. When a person learns about Islam, because when a person learns about Islam, you're going to benefit in one way or another if your intention is sincere. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّ فَعَتِ ذِكْرًا. Remind, because the people are going to benefit from the reminder. سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى. Those who will benefit are those who have khashya, those who have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you remind another individual of a specific act of worship or give him some Islamic advice, he's going to benefit in one way or another. There's going to be some kind of benefit. If you're sharing knowledge amongst yourselves, you're making it into a gathering of benefit, a gathering of barakah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send down tranquility in that specific gathering because his name is mentioned. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions beneficial knowledge first and foremost, before anything else. Because without knowledge, brothers and sisters, our actions won't be correct. Our actions won't be complete. When a person doesn't have knowledge, for example, about how to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to fast the month of Ramadan, how to do other acts of worship, when he doesn't know these things, those actions themselves won't be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why knowledge for each and every single one of us is an obligation up to a certain point. Acts of worship that we do on a day-to-day basis, we have to know how to do them. And this is why knowledge is mentioned first, because without knowledge, one's actions won't be accepted. And this is why the scholars, they would say, al-ilmu shajara wal-amalu thamara. They would say knowledge is the tree and actions are the fruits of that tree. Meaning if the tree itself is fasid, if it's corrupted, if it's bad, it's not going to provide any beneficial or good fruit. It's going to come out with things which are of no good to anybody. So you have to have a solid foundation. The tree itself needs to be strong. And then and only then, can a person truly benefit from the fruits of his knowledge, which is his actions, his salah, his zakah, his fasting, and so on and so forth. The Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he emphasizes the importance of knowledge, brothers and sisters, because as I mentioned, without knowledge, your actions aren't accepted, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in many places in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Suratul Asr, وَلَعَصْرْ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرْ. By time, mankind is at a loss. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Except for those who believe and they do righteous deeds. Meaning you have to have both. And knowledge comes before action. Otherwise, your actions may or may not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because your knowledge was incomplete or incorrect or you didn't know. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he continues, and he says, وَرِزْقًا طَيِّبًا. And I ask you for pure provision, halal provision. And this shows us, brothers and sisters, that knowing certain things, having knowledge of certain things, isn't enough for a person's actions to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But his income also needs to be pure. First of all, because there won't be no barakah in that income. Secondly, because it may harm the acts of worship that you do do. Meaning you may have done many acts of worship, but they're tainted because your income wasn't halal. Your wealth wasn't pure. And so as a result of this, you may have knowledge. A person may know how to do certain things. We may come here for the Jumu'ah prayer, knowing it's an obligation upon us to attend the Jumu'ah prayer. But there are certain things we're doing when it comes to our businesses, or when we're buying and selling, or whatever it may be, in whatever circumstance it may be, that those things which are financial in nature are actually things which are harming our ibadah and our act of worship. Because we're involved in riba, we're involved in mortgages, we're involved in usury and interest. And it's not just those types of things. When we think of purity in finance, purity in wealth, many of us tend to think about interest, or we tend to think about mortgages and things like this. But it's also on a smaller scale. When an individual, for example, takes the bus and he doesn't put the right fare in, knowing that he has to put a specific amount to get from one place to another, and he intentionally doesn't put the correct amount in, this is something which will affect your ibadah, because now your risk is something which is impure because you're lying and you're being deceitful. An individual goes to a shop, for example, to buy something. The shopkeeper gives him change, but he gives extra than what he was supposed to get. And you go out to the shop and we see the change and we see we have more than we were supposed to actually get from the shopkeeper, and we keep it. We think this is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah bless me with this wealth. But it's not a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a test on you from Allah Azza wa Jal to see what you're going to do. To see whether you want pure provision, pure income, or whether it's something which will cause you to have certain acts of worship not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So pure provision, brothers and sisters, is something which each and every single one of us need to be careful about, and we need to think and contemplate what we do with our wealth. Where are we spending our money? How do we spend our money? Are we spending our money where it should be spent? With regards to giving in charity, giving it to those that we're responsible for, our family members. Are we spending that money that we have to give on behalf of our spouses or on our children? And when an individual doesn't have pure wealth, this is one of the reasons why dua in and of itself won't be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The famous story of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, when he told the companions radiallahu anhum ajma'in about the man who was wandering in the desert and he was desperate for help. And so he raised his hands into the sky and he's saying, Rabbi, Rabbi, my Lord, my Lord. وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ. His food is haram. His clothing is haram. Everything about him is haram. فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ. So how is he going to be responded to? Meaning, because of your provision, because of what you're doing with your wealth, how you're spending this wealth, buying things which are haram, paying for things which are haram in nature, like music and other types of things, smoking. When a person buys cigarettes, or drugs, or alcohol, or things like this, you don't think this is going to affect your ibadah. You don't think it's going to affect your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's going to have an effect. فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ. How will this individual's dua and supplication be responded to by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he's not paying attention with regards to his wealth and how he has his income and how he makes this wealth and this money which he has? And then the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he finishes off this dua and he says, وَعَمَلًا مُتَقَبَّلًا. Actions which are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, I ask you for accepted actions. And this is the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam making this supplication. And we know there was no one greater than the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. No one greater in worship and in sincerity and in ikhlas than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And yet even he is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for actions to be accepted, for his deeds to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this shows us, brothers and sisters, that there may be acts of worship which we do, and we think we perfected those acts of worship, and we think it's money in the bank. Yani for sure Allah is going to reward me for those acts. And we become overconfident as a result of those acts of worship. But ultimately, a person has no guarantee that those acts are going to be accepted by Allah Azza wa Jal. There is no guarantee. And this is why we make these supplications, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our actions. Because there may be certain things we did. There may have been certain moments when we had riya, showing off in our acts of worship, which caused that act of worship to become tainted. And so a person asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make his actions accepted by him. And also, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, leaves this final part of the dua at the end. وَعَمَلَ الْمُتَقَبَّلَ Actions which are going to be accepted. Meaning one of the reasons, or some of the reasons why actions won't be accepted ultimately, could be his knowledge, and it could also be his wealth. Meaning because of your wealth, other acts of worship which you do may not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So having the right knowledge and the correct knowledge and the correct understanding, and also being careful with one's wealth, is in fact a reason why your acts of worship will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us beneficial knowledge, and that He purifies our provision, and that He accepts our actions. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم إنه الغفور الرحيم وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We were talking about the dua of the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام, and we said dua in of itself is an act of worship, because the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, he said الدُّعَاء هُوَ الْعِبَادَةِ, dua is worship. And he would make a specific dua, as Salama radiallahu anha, she said after the Fajr prayer, he would say Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'an, oh Allah, I ask you for beneficial knowledge, wa rizqan tayyiban, and provision which is halal, provision which is pure, provision which is good and not fasid or corrupt or dirty, وَعَمَلَ الْمُتَقَبَّلَ, and actions which are accepted by you. And we said that there are certain conditions or prerequisites for a person's actions to be accepted. And these two are from those prerequisites. A person, first of all, has to have the knowledge. He has to have knowledge about how to do certain actions or what to stay away from, so that he can take care of his Islam and those that he's responsible for. And at the same time, his wealth can also be a factor in his actions not being accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And actions, brothers and sisters, are the only thing that we are ultimately in control of. The things that we do on a day-to-day basis, every single day, those things are what we're held to account for, and it's those things that we are in control of. And that's why when we talk about other individuals, or we criticize the actions of other individuals, we have to be very careful, because ultimately we're not going to be responsible for the actions or what they say. And a person may have deficiencies himself. He's living in a glass house and he's criticizing others. We ourselves may have deficiencies. And the only thing we have control over, because we don't have control over other people's actions, we don't have control over what other people may say, but we do have control over the things we say and the things we do. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَقُلْ اِعْمَلُوا, tell them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اِعْمَلُوا, do, فَسَيَّرَ اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ, just do the actions and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will see them. And you will see them regarding those who are around you when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive, and the believers will see it. Meaning it doesn't matter what other individuals do. An individual has to focus on his own actions. And ultimately when we do acts of worship, we're doing them purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There may be some of us who are involved in charitable projects, things which we're doing not for any financial gain, but for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Things that we're doing to benefit and invest in the akhirah. And when we do these types of things, or there may be some of us who want to do these types of things, what we have to remember, brothers and sisters, when we are involved in these types of projects and charitable organizations and initiatives, is that we're not doing it for other people's sake. And we're not doing it as a favor to the masjid or the institute or the organization or that specific charity. Whether we're there or not, the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue. When you do certain things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're not benefiting Islam. Islam is benefiting you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened that door for you to be able to do good deeds. And in fact, when we talked about the importance of doing actions and the importance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepting our actions and not knowing whether Allah will accept our actions or not, the scholars, they say one of the signs of an action which is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when a person continues to do that specific act of worship, when he continues to do that specific good deed, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never closed it for you. And it may be a person does an act of worship and Allah opens other doors of good for you. So you give charity to one family because they're poor. That family mentions another family. And you end up giving charity to two families. They mention two more. And you have four or five families. You ask other people for help. And you end up helping a whole community. And you open a charity. This is a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He accepted that first act of worship when you gave charity for the sake of Allah. And the opposite is also true, brothers and sisters. When a person commits a sin, when we do and something which is evil, when we do something haram, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala maybe doesn't punish us as a result of that haram, meaning we don't fall sick, we're not exposed or nothing else happens to us where we think twice before committing that sin again. But instead what happens is we continue doing that sin over and over again. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, don't think that when a person isn't being punished, or that when a person is an oppressor and he's harming the Muslims and there's no harm coming to him and we've given him things, we've given him wealth, status or power, don't think this is something which is good for him. بَلْ هُوَ شَرُّ لَهُمْ. Rather, it's something which is harmful for him, it's something evil for him. Meaning, when a person does a sin, when a person commits haram and he continues to commit that haram, that in and of itself is a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he wasn't stopped by committing that sin. He continued. Other doors of sin opened up as a result of that first sin. And so this isn't something which a person should think, it's fine for me to do because nothing happened to me. There were no negative consequences from Allah azza wa jal. But this in and of itself may be a test to see whether or not a person will refrain and stay away from that specific sin. And he may end up committing that sin until he dies. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saving his punishment on the day of judgment, for the day of judgment. And the day of judgment, no one wants to have his sins exposed. No one wants to be punished for a sin on that day, because the punishment compared to this world and the punishment of this world is nothing. There's no comparison. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us the ability to be able to do as many good deeds as we can while we're alive. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma aghfir lil muslimina wal muslimat, wal mu'minina wal mu'minat, al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. Allahumma ansur ikhwana al-muslimina fi al-Sham, wa fi al-Iraq, wa fi al-Filistin, wa fi kulli makanin ya rabbil alameen. Inna Allah ya'murukum bil-adli wal-ihsan, wa ita'i dhil-qurba, wa yanha anil fahshai wal-munkari wal-baghi, ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkaroon. Fadhkuru Allah al-azim al-jilali yadhkurukum, wa shkuruhu ala ni'amihi yazidkum, wa la dhikru Allah a'la wa awla wa akbar, wa Allahu ya'lamu ma tasma'un.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Straighten your rows. Straightening the rows is from the perfection of the prayer, so make sure your rows are straight. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى
الله أكبر سمي الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين
هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارق مصفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم.